Our first reading is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp, and a young man ran and told Moses, "The Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. According to John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today on the Christian calendar is Pentecost, hence all the red. Sometimes it's called the birthday of the church. We call it that because while the church is the body of Christ, and it's his church, like the incarnation, the church itself is born of the Holy Spirit. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that we believe in the Holy Spirit, which brings into existence the Holy Christian Church, which is the communion of saints. That Apostles' Creed, we confessed, is the old Roman. In this case, it's so old, we're literally talking about the communion of saints who lived in Rome, not the larger body that we might think of today. The Apostles' Creed is that old Roman one that they used for baptism. And it has been used by churches in the West for baptism for 2,000 years. The person themselves, or their parents and sponsors for little children, are asked, "Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" According to that creed. And each of those baptisms is a recreation of Pentecost. The Father promised to pour out his Spirit in the last days. The Son promised rivers of living water that we might worship in spirit and truth. On Pentecost, that Spirit was sent. Those gathered apostles were baptized by that Spirit directly. But already on that first Pentecost, those who were cut to the heart by Peter's preaching pleaded with him, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied to them, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Same gift, given by means of water and the Word. The God who can work in majesty directly can also work humbly through me. And by promise. You'll hear in just a bit the confirmands being asked similar questions as those baptismal ones. In fact, the first part is a restating of what their parents and sponsors confessed for them on that day that Anna and AJ probably don't remember. Who you don't remember, probably. So, confirmation is a making of that faith their own. What others once said for them is now theirs. They are confirming what those parents and sponsors did in faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, which has now started to come to fruition in them. The second part of that rite will ask some different questions. Now what? Now that this faith has been handed to me and is mine, what do I intend to do? How do I intend to live it? And the answers to that second set of questions is slightly different. The answers confirming are a solid declaration. I do. Yes, I believe. They have grown. What God has started is being brought to fruition. But the answers to that second set are, I do by the grace of God. I intend to keep growing. I intend to live it. But in this world, we are constantly harassed by the sin which lives in our members. I can't do it myself. Every day, every hour, I need the grace that God provides through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. That Spirit has called me by the gospel and has enlightened me with His gifts, and I pray that He will also sanctify and keep me in that faith. And that gets us to just a small trouble with confirmation. Instead of treating it as a Pentecost baptism moment, a starting moment, we Lutherans have tended to treat confirmation as a graduation moment, more like a funeral moment. To say, you know it all now, here is your crown of life. When it becomes a graduation moment, we shouldn't be surprised when we only see graduates occasionally afterwards. To the extent that it's a graduation, it's a denial of our baptism and not a confirmation. So let's stop seeing it as a graduation. This is a baptism. We don't repeat baptisms. One is all we need, because the promise of God has been attached, and God keeps His promises through those waters that we enter the church by. But what we often need is a reminder that, yes, I am baptized. Yes, I have been made part of the body of Christ. Yes, His Holy Spirit does dwell in me. That's the gospel point of confirmation and our other remembrances of baptism, like confession and absolution. And we do repeat those. Yes, by the grace of God, I intend to live my life according to the Word. But what happens when I fail? Were you baptized? Do you still believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven, and sin no more. But what if I do it again? Were you baptized? Do you believe? Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven, and sin no more. Repeat 70 times 7. That's the promise of Christ. That's what He worked for us on that cross. That's what He gave us in those waters. And that's what we confirm here today. We gather to remind each other to be the means that God reminds us by, to witness failures and restoration, to speak about what God is doing in our midst, to confess and to confirm. Yes, I am baptized. Yes, I intend to follow Christ through the grace of the Spirit that dwells in me. The confirmation verse is an old tradition. When they got started, they were part of the bishop's blessing. Bishops formerly in charge of all instruction would preside at confirmations. And they would give a charge and a blessing to each confirmant. At some point, we lost that sense of charge and blessing, and we let confirmants pick their own verses. That never sat right with me, even when I was choosing mine. I wanted the charge and blessing. I wrestled with Pastor Brinkman for 2 years, never letting go. And I wanted to tell him, you give me that blessing, like Jacob wrestling with God. Pastor Brinkman still made me choose one. But I'm sorry, AJ and Anna, I'm going to give you a charge and a blessing. Your verses will be on your certificates. AJ, you first. The verse that I've selected for you is Romans 12:2. I've coached you in baseball as well as taught you for the past couple of years. And AJ, you've never been shy about asking really good questions. The one thing that I wish I could have done more, both on the ball field and here, is directed those questions in more complete ways. you deserved a better coach. But confirmation is a beginning and not an end. That's why I've chosen Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. AJ, we don't have to worry about you conforming or that you will stop testing. Those are gifts that you have been given. What I hope is that this verse will encourage a path. By your baptism, the Spirit is resident in you, affecting the renewal of the mind. The mind of Christ is in you. Don't stop asking questions. Don't settle for whatever is just provided, but use those gifts in the right direction, towards the will of God. And what is that will of God? Whatever is good. And that word isn't as bland as it sounds, but wrestle it. What is truly good? Find that and do it. What is acceptable? I would have preferred our translators to be a little less squishy. Whatever is pleasing is what I would have done. And there are lots of acceptable things, but that's not the charge. Find the pleasing things. Not the pleasing things to our sinful nature, but the pleasing things to God and the Spirit that dwells within you. Find the pleasing things and do them. Whatever is perfect. Again, the language has drifted a little. I think better would have been mature. Confirmation, AJ, is a little like handing the keys of a new Camaro to a 16-year-old. Here's the faith, kid. Take it for a spin. Just like that 16-year-old, you're going to put a few dings in it. Remember, you're baptized. Remember to do good. Remember to look for those pleasing things. Do that enough, with a little grace, the car will still run. You'll arrive at a mature faith, a faith that has not been conformed, but has transformed you, a faith that enables you to stand when everything else is falling, a mature faith that bears much fruit. AJ, may the Lord bless and keep you on the good, the pleasing, and towards that mature faith. Anna, for you, I've chosen Ephesians 3:17 through 19. Ephesians is my personal favorite book of the Bible. And this passage is from Paul's prayer. He gets rather dramatic with those Ephesians, saying, I bow on my knees to the Father. And then he strings together a bunch of phrases, and the prayer just comes tumbling out of St. Paul. And he gets to his purpose. He's praying in order that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Your mother and I have attempted in our life at home, here at church, through confirmation and Sunday school and everything else. What we've attempted to do is to root and to ground you in love. You know from a family of witnesses that God is love. Christ is the sure foundation. We've been building you on that rock. We've planted you in some good soil. And we've done this for what Paul is saying, so that you may be strong enough to make it your own. With all of these saints, With all of the saints that have passed through this building for over 110 years, and with all the saints that have made this faith their own for the last 2,000 years, and in making it your own, you might find how big this house actually is. We pray that you might explore this mansion of love that the Lord has built for us, its breadth and its length and its depth. That you realize that this mansion of love just doesn't end. That you would come to know the surpassing nature of the wisdom of the love of Christ. The world will try and convince you that this house is a small place and quite stupid. Don't believe it. If you have the faith and courage, if you are strong enough, and you are, because you're baptized and the Spirit dwells in you. If you're strong enough and you explore this place, this faith far enough, you'll come to know just how great the love of Christ is. And when you reach that point, when you know it deep in your bones, then you may be made full in the fullness of God. A life rooted and grounded in Christ that grows and matures in all directions, exploring the vitality of this love, is a life that will never be empty. Out of her heart will flow rivers of living water. Anna, may the Lord bless and keep you, making you strong to know the length and breadth and depth of the wisdom of Christ's love, that you might be made full with the fullness of God. Amen.
Amen.